many got your armor on today? How many have discovered that you get armor as you praise Him?
Amen.
Amen. You're clothed in His glory, in His presence. He inhabits the praises of His people Israel, right? And we are, by adoption, we are the children, amen, of Abraham, who is what? The father of the faithful, who was given promise by Almighty God, amen, that He would be a father of many nations. How many here are one of His seed today? Through who's that seed? That seed was the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Through that seed, we have been birthed into this living hope. So arise and shine, for your light has come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The Bible says not to be wise in your own understanding. In my own understanding, I say, well, to me, God is like this. And to me, my Christian walk is going to look like this. That's being wise in your own understanding. What does God say? What does His Word say? That's what God has to say, right? What the Bible says is what God says. And what God says is what we're going to listen to. I don't care. It's not a denominational thing. It's not an opinion thing. It's the Word of the Almighty God who created us. Amen? And God says to give praise. And praise is good. Amen? Praise is good for us. Praise is creating an atmosphere for God's presence. If God gave you a mouth and a tongue, amen, you can give praise to Him.
Amen.
And if you're facing a giant that defies you and says you will not do that in front of people, how many know that giant has to come down?
Amen.
And the way He's going to come down is you say, forget that, I'm going to give God praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him who made her. Amen. And the children of Zion, let them be joyful in their King. And let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. Right? For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. And He will beautify the meek, those who humble themselves. Amen. As children, come before Him as children. And, you know, I was watching something. Someone had shared a video with me this last week. And he was showing clips of people worshiping the sun, worshiping, you know, different gods, people at sports events, people at X Games, where everybody's hands, everybody, their hands are all lifted up to a man, you know? Are they lifted up to some other god, some other deity? And yet in the church, they say, well, that's my denomination doesn't practice that way. Forget your denomination. What does God say? Forget your opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. God says, give praise.
Yeah.
And if you want the devil off your back, you got to give him praise.
Yeah.
How many would believe that I have to deal with the devil once in a while as a pastor?
Yeah.
How many know that if I don't give God praise, amen, I'm going to be in a mess?
Yep.
I've got to keep the atmosphere of heaven around me and in me. As you worship, as you praise, you will be filled with His presence, with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God lifts us up on wings as eagles. He says, I'm going to lift you up above all the noise and all the confusion. I'm going to lift you up above all the mess. And you'll have shalom, perfect peace in me, in that place of intimacy, as we are engaging, amen, in dialogue. And praise is a form of prayer. And you'll notice that the songs we do here are to the Lord. We minister to the Lord. It's not just singing about Jesus. We're singing to Jesus because we're in relationship with Him.
Amen.
Amen. We sing about Jesus to people who don't know Jesus. But when we come to relationship, we can sing to Him. Amen. We can sing about and to Him. And you know that God sings over us too.
Yes.
He sings over us. And He brings us through those periods of darkness and those valleys and those shadows. And God, He's there with us through it all. We got to hang in there. Hang on to His hand because He's going to lead us out of it. Amen? He's going to lead you out of your financial messes and everything else if we would just trust Him and put Him first and seek His kingdom above everything else. He says, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of everything you have need of. Don't seek those things. Amen? Seek the things that are above where Christ is. I really feel that we are taking to heart the words of our Lord. and that we are setting ourselves individually to seek His face, to abide in His Word. And then as we do that and we come together, it's glorious. Amen. You know what it's like to be in places where people are just coming and they're hoping the minister is going to do for them. And everything they're depending on is coming from the minister. Come on, how many know that I'm just a part, a small part? And we're all members of the body of Christ. And we all have, if you're in Christ, you have anointing. You have angels with you, assigned to you. You have something to offer. And so together we're going to grow. Together we're going to grow healthy. As every member, every member is engaged. Every member needs to be engaged in the work of God. How many know that God didn't save us to get us off the hook? I mean, He got us off the hook. Aren't you glad He got us off the hook? We don't have to go to hell, right? But He saved us to serve Him. He's freed us so that we can run with Him. And it's not just to come and get more messages. Because if we're just hearers and not doers, we're deceiving ourselves. We need to hear and we need to start practicing and doing what God showed us to do. Amen. In His Word. And as we apply what we hear, it becomes a living Word to us. It becomes our meat. It becomes our sustenance. God's Word is living and powerful, is it not? And it's living and powerful in those who are in cooperation with the Word of God. Because you can hear the Word and close your heart to it simply through disobedience. But to those who are in cooperation with the Word of God, it is a living Word and it produces life. It produces good fruit in our lives. How many want good fruit in your life? I want you to turn with me, if you would, this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke, chapter 16, and verse 19. And we're going to read from verse 19 to verse 31. And Holy Spirit, I ask You for help in Jesus' name. Here the Lord is giving this account of really two lives, two deaths, and two hereafters. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, or cavern, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Folks, the first point I want to make today is that the rich man was not condemned to Hades because of his wealth. And the poor man here, Lazarus, was not taken to paradise because he was poor. The word Hades is really the Greek form of the Hebrew word Sheol. And in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the people believed that both the righteous and the unrighteous went to this place of departed spirits. But here it speaks of two different chambers or two different places. One which is a paradise and the other which is hellfire and darkness. And so we have two different people contrasted here. The basis of our salvation is what? Faith in the Lord, is it not? And men are condemned for refusing to believe on him. Lazarus, of course, had to have had faith in the Lord. And the reason we know that is because Hebrews 11 tells us that even prior to the cross, people were justified the same way we are today, and that is by faith in what God promises. God promises good to those who obey him. Are you with me? God promises that if we will trust him and if we will believe him, he will account that to us as righteousness. He declared that Abraham was righteous because he believed the word of God. The question we need to ask today is, do I believe the word of God? We can hear the word of God. We can quote the word of God. Are you with me? We can sing the word of God, but do we believe the word of God? Because if you believe the word of God, it will produce fruit in your life. If we truly believe what God says, it will have evidence in our lives. Because his word is living and powerful. There will be a manifestation of God's very being, his presence in our lives as we believe. How many know the Holy Spirit moves according to the word of God? Not our ideas, our opinions, even our wishes, but he moves according to the will of God. And that's why there's times when we beg God for things or we try to force things to happen, but the Holy Spirit's going to move when we are in agreement with the will of the Father. Amen. When we're in agreement with what God says, the Holy Spirit will always move according to the word of God. Why? Because he is one. He is God, the Spirit. So in other words, because God is holy, and we've gone through this before, holy means he's integrated. Amen. It means that everything God says, everything God speaks, everything God does is what? Always in complete agreement. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are always in complete agreement. We are holy when we are in complete agreement with him who is holy. See, this rich man here in the story, he showed that he didn't have true saving faith because of his careless disregard for this beggar who was laid at his gate. You know, if he had the love of God in him, he could not have lived in that condition and completely disregard this man who was simply asking for some crumbs. Are you hearing me? When it talks about this man lived sumptuously, it means he was a noble or he was a high rank official. And he was clothed in purple and he just had everything going his way. And life was really good for him. Every day he was just having a feast and he was completely consumed upon himself. Everything that he spent his time and his affection on was himself. Are you with me? In other words, he was completely self-centered. And there's this man who he could have very easily helped and he did nothing. Because he lived only for himself. And so it was clear by his actions that he did not have the love of God in his heart. Are you with me? If you have the love of God in you, how can we ignore something that of such magnitude as this man that's laying there dying full of sores? Are you with me? To the degree the dogs would come and lick the sores. And I was told that the dogs have a quality in their saliva that's actually helpful and healing wounds. And of course the beggar dies, and it says that he's taken by angels, which is in agreement with the Hebrew understanding that when the righteous die, angels accompany them to the Father. Well, Jesus didn't say anything about that. And how many know that this is a story that Jesus is telling here? And there are those who will say, well, it's just a parable. And the reason why they say that is because they believe erroneously that people just soul sleep. that they don't go immediately to one place or the other. And so they say, well, there's no such thing as an eternal hell. Well, how can you look at this and not know Jesus is not going to tell us a lie? Even if it was a parable, he would not use a parable, amen, to present a mistruth to us. Jesus is saying that hell is a real place and people will go there if they do not, if they refuse to listen to the word of God. Poverty is not a virtue either, folks. There are some people that despise those who have wealth. Well, God gives wealth, but with wealth, he also gives great responsibility. Amen? If he gives you wealth, it's because you are to be a conduit through whom God will bless others. Amen? And there are those who live their lives in poverty. They're poor, and they don't have to be ashamed of that. They can be rich in God's faith. Amen? Rich in him. And Jesus said, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but where? In heaven. Live for eternity. You know, God is able to bless us. God is able to prosper us. And God will, for those who he can entrust, amen, riches, he will give riches to. And sometimes, folks, he has to take them away because we're not responsible with what we have. Are you hearing me? And he knows that sometimes riches can corrupt. Often they do. As a matter of fact, James says the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money is evil. He said the love of money. How many know it's the love of money that has created all the problems that we're seeing in the world? It's all about real estate and property. The wars, everything. It's about a few elite who want to have it all. And they'll even, you know, ensure that many people die so that they can have more. That's all I'm going to say about that today. But this rich man, he just catered to himself. He catered to his own pleasures and appetites. He had no care for his fellow man. Therefore, he had no true love for God. What are the lessons? We're going to look at some lessons we can learn from here. Number one, a person can have a beautiful appearance in the sight of men and yet be corrupt in the sight of God. You know, there are those who think that they have need of nothing, and yet they don't realize their true condition. You know, Jesus even spoke to the church of Laodicea. And he says, you think that you're wealthy and you have no need of anything. But he says, you don't realize that you're really wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. He says, you're destitute. And yet you think because you have personal property and wealth that that somehow makes you prosperous. How many know that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses here below? There are no U-Hauls going to heaven. Amen. We need to store up our treasures in heaven. Live for the kingdom. And so there are lessons we can learn here. Another lesson is a person can be despised and rejected by men and yet be rich and beautiful in the sight of God. See, we judge, don't we, by outward appearance. I wonder if we've ever run into Jesus as a homeless man. I wonder how many times we have entertained angels unaware or maybe neglected to do so. Because they didn't look like what we thought, you know, was deserving of help. It's easy to love those even who love us, isn't it? They're nice to us, I'll be nice to them. But God's love is agape love. God's love is, I just love you. And there's nothing you can do to change that. I just love you. Whether you like it or not, I love you. Have you ever loved back somebody who hated you? It doesn't make them mad. It's like, you love them. You love on people. Amen? Doesn't mean you have to camp out with them, hang out with them. It just means you love them. When you see them, be kind to them. Amen? Love on them. And you'll keep that offense off you. I've had lots of enemies. I've had more enemies since I've been a believer. When I hung out with the world, did world things, everybody seemed to like me. They're all my friends, I thought, till I ran out of weed or something, you know. Party's over now. I'm out of here. I'll look for somebody else to use. But the Lord, remember when the Lord sent Samuel to choose the king and to anoint the king of Israel. He was going to replace Saul, who was in rebellion. And so he was going down the list, and then he came to Jesse's son Eliab. And he said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him." Because Samuel said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed. Man, he's good looking, he's charismatic, he's popular, he's taller than everybody else. He's got to be the Lord's anointed." I mean, you know, most people believe that Paul was just a little, tiny, bald-headed guy. Very insecure. Yeah. And yet, look what Paul accomplished for the kingdom. It's not a, we don't judge according to the world's standard, amen? We look at the heart. God looks at the heart, and so should we. We got to look past even the faults and see the needs of people. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so you and I, as children of God, we're going to be despised. We're going to be rejected by the world if we're living for Christ. But we're going to be beautiful in the sight of God. And that's what matters. Another lesson we can learn here is that you can have an insignificant burial and yet be escorted by angels to the Father's throne. Amen? To paradise. And in other words, you may never have much recognition in this life. But God takes note of those who love Him. Can I suggest to you that we get ourselves in trouble often because we're seeking recognition? God doesn't want us seeking recognition. He wants us seeking Him. And if He wants us to be recognized, amen, it'll be for His purposes and for His glory. Are you with me? We get into trouble when we're seeking recognition. What we need to do is maintain our own personal walk with Him every day. And even the things that are said and done in secret, God takes note of. He knows those who have spent time in the closet in secret when nobody else saw what they were doing. But they were interceding, amen, between heaven and earth and calling in the kingdom on behalf of others. And God takes note of those who love Him. And those who shut the door behind them and pray to their Father who sees in secret, He will reward openly. Hallelujah. So much of what happens publicly, folks, has to begin secretly. Are you with me? If you want to be something publicly, if it's God's purpose for you, then you need to be faithful secretly. In Malachi chapter 3:16, I just shared this passage at a memorial recently. It talks about this book of remembrance. It says, "Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another." How many know you got to be in fellowship to speak to one another? You got to be in church to speak to one another in the kingdom, right? Not just in church, but everywhere, right? "And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate, dwell on, think on His name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." Another lesson, folks, is that a person might receive honor and glory from man in this life and yet be rejected by God. The world honors those who are dead, but how many have considered their eternal fate? I'm a veteran. There are many veterans here, I'm sure, today. But, you know, we honor our veterans and we're thankful for their sacrifice and what they've given. But how many know, folks, that there's something more important than just what we've given in our service to our country? And that is, have we lived for God? You know, I want you to hear this. I'm not taking away of the sacrifices and the things that people have done. What I'm trying to say is, how much attention do we give to the eternal matters? In the world, so much attention is placed on things that happened in a temporary period of time and not on eternity. Are you hearing me? The world focuses on things that are for here and for now, for instant gratification, for self-service. Are you with me? The world looks at Hollywood elite. The world looks at rock stars and people and celebrities, right? And they lift their hands, come on, and they praise their favorite celebrity with hands raised, and yet in the church, how many know that's idolatry? I'm not saying you have to walk around with your hands up. I'm saying that God has placed some certain things that if we are in right standing with God, and when somebody has had something happen that rejoices their heart, that's authentic, that's real, like the touchdown, they lift their hands up and they say, yay! Is there something authentic going on in us? I think there is. That's why we lift our hands. There's times when God's Spirit moves. Now we can say, well, I just don't do that. And so we're fighting it. But sometimes the Lord is saying, just let it go. Come on, let it go. Get over it. Get over it. Get over your insecurities. Can I let you in on something? Because I'm not here to judge anybody. Well, maybe I did, but. When I was in school, and the teacher would call my name, I would freak. I was like, oh, no. Not the blackboard. They don't use blackboards anymore, do they? Blackboard. And I got to go up and I was one of those kids that was like, wow, it's a nice day outside, isn't it? Yeah. What do you think, Mr. Ernstmeyer? Huh? And she'd call me up. I remember one teacher I had, Mrs. King. She would literally, you can get away with that today, but she'd come back and she'd pound on my head, pay attention! But I would freak out when I'd get called on to, you know, to come up to the board or to. And yet when I was a kid, you know, my parents, they kept putting me up in front of people. And I learned to overcome that giant. But, you know, in the Lord, it's cool because we have the anointing. We have the help of the Holy Spirit so that we may be weak and me say, well, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. Because God is your strength. And you know, sometimes you have to tackle that giant that says, don't do this and don't do that. When God says in your heart, you need to let go of yourself. I want to set you free, but I can't as long as you're holding back. There's times when God is saying, you need to completely give your 100% in praise to me right now. Have you ever given God 100% of your praise? It's in that 100% where he gives you a full blast. Are you with me?
Yes.
And life is good in the God zone, and there's a freedom that comes. And sometimes, folks, it's just, it really is a spirit of fear that would keep us from doing what God says to do in public. Are you hearing me? Has anybody ever dealt with a spirit of fear?
Yes.
God's telling you to go talk to somebody, and that spirit of fear says, oh, no, you can't. It's like the Goliath that's standing in your path. But we esteem these celebrities and we lift our hands and we praise them. And yet, I think sadly of those who have gone on, even those who I at one time had esteemed. And they died of overdoses or whatever happened. And I just think about, where are they today? Men still talk of them. They're still memorialized in the earth. But where are they in eternity? Folks, are you hearing me today? Because once a person goes to hell, there is no coming out of there. That the rich man could not leave that place of torments. And as a matter of fact, he could not get the slightest, commonest drop of water to cool his tongue in that place. The judgment had been set. It was too late for him. Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And what can he give in exchange for his soul? Another lesson is a person may have abundance in this world's goods and yet be destitute in the world to come. There's a man that had it all, and yet he had nothing. Being in torments of Hades, it says in verse 23, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. How many know that means there's extreme pain in this place where God is not? Hell is hell because God is not there. Where God is not, it's hell. Have you ever been there? The rich man's soul, or his conscious self, went to Hades. He went to this place of departed spirits. There's going to be everlasting remorse for those who neglect the opportunities afforded them in this life. How many know that you and I only have a short time left? We have a short time, and God is going to give you and afford us opportunities to serve, to bless, to love, amen, to give, to share what we have been given with others. God is giving us opportunity now. Everything that this rich man had done in his life, he could remember in hell. There's everlasting remorse for those who neglect the opportunities that they have. In verse 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented." In Matthew 5:7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Do you see that in this story, folks, that I believe is a real story, a true story, that Jesus is sharing, that everything hangs, hear this, on your relationship to Jesus Christ and your fellow man. Everything hangs on your relationship to Jesus and your fellow man. A lawyer asked Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 36, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." Do you see? The two greatest commandments are what? Loving God and loving people. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. In 1 John 3:17 it says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" 1 John 4:20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" And this commandment we have from him, 1 John 4:21, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Another lesson is number 7, the prayers of the lost can avail nothing for themselves or for others. It was too late. He cried out in verse 24 and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." And listen, even in that pitiful condition, even when he was in that state, he's trying to get Lazarus to do his bidding. "And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham's son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things." Again, likewise, Lazarus evil things. "But now he's comforted, you are tormented." It's too late for those who are lost in hell. Are you hearing that today? Once a person goes to hell, it is too late. There is no escaping that place of torment. You are there forever. We have one chance, one life, one opportunity. Here it was a contrast between two lives that were lived, two deaths and two fates, two destinies. Those who will hear and do the will of the Father, Jesus said, are those who abide forever. What is the commandment? That you love one another. If the love of God is truly in us, then we will love one another. We will love people. It's time to pray. Today is the day to prepare your soul to meet Jesus. Finally, those who will not hear and receive God's word will perish without remedy. Verse 29, Abraham said to him, when he was speaking about his five brothers, he says, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." In other words, when they did not hear or listen to the voice of truth, the word of God, when they had opportunity, they were not going to listen. even if someone had claimed to have risen from the dead. How many know today the same thing is true? Jesus has risen from the dead. And even those who knew that He rose from the dead still refused to bow their knee to Him. And the same thing is true today. Those will refuse. Even when what may be known of God has been clearly revealed to them, God has given them an understanding that they might know Him, and yet they still refuse to bow their knee to the voice of God. Are you hearing me today? We are responsible for what we know. And if we hear the Word of God, we are responsible, amen, to do what God tells us to do. How many know God desires obedience more than sacrifice? How many know that God wants us to love more than anything else? He wants us to love one another. And when we love people who we see, we are loving the God who we don't see. There are people who claim to love God, but they don't love their fellow man. That's hypocrisy. They're living a lie. How can we refuse the mercy to someone really in need? Are you hearing me? If we claim to have the love of God in us. There are people who will abuse the system. There are people who will take advantage of Christians. There are people who will try to get you to do for them simply because they know what the Bible says. They will give an account to God as well for how they had stewarded what God had given them. Are you hearing me? Because everything that we have has been given with a stewardship. Amen? It's all God's stuff in the beginning. It's all His property. The silver and the gold is mine. Is He not the God of the cattle on 1,000 hills? Amen? All that we have comes from Him. Are we being faithful as stewards of God's property? Because that's where Jesus is talking about when He said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Be good stewards here with the natural things that God gives you, and the day will come when you will have an abundance in eternity. Are you hearing me? Because that's what's going to last forever. What we do for God, what we have done unto Christ, is the only thing that's going to last forever. How many are ready just to go all in? You know, it doesn't say anything. When I was looking at this, it doesn't say anything about this rich man as being cruel. Are you with me? Of being a swindler. Doesn't say anything about him just being a bad player. Maybe even an immoral man. But simply because he refused to show mercy, he was rejected. And there's nothing that we read about Lazarus as well that says that he was anything special, right? He was just a man that was in need. But I can believe, because the Word of God says so, that Lazarus, he might have been poor in this world, but he was not poor in eternity. Are you hearing me? He was rich in eternity. We need to be rich towards God. Are you hearing me? Too much of the church is consumed with prosperity, consumed with just getting wealth. Are you hearing me? Too much of the messages are just about how can I have it all now, when God is saying live for eternity, live for that world. Because tomorrow it can all be gone. As a matter of fact, tomorrow the Lord can require your soul, and then what will you do with all those things that you've accumulated? Are you hearing me? How many know the only thing that's going to last is what we did for Christ? Hallelujah. Let's be found faithful, amen? And let's be merciful towards others. Let's not judge any longer by appearance as well. Hebrews 10:36 says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. In the New King James it says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Are you hearing me? Where do you stand today? God judges according to the heart and not according to the appearance. We may be able to fool people, but you don't fool God. Where are you going to spend eternity? Don't be like the rich man in this story who lived only for himself and who refused to listen to the voice of God. Salvation came to his house. Are you hearing this? Salvation came to his house in the form of a beggar, full of sores. Salvation was at his doorstep, and he chose to follow the course of this world instead of the will of God. We have to make a decision. Are we going to live for God, or are we going to live for this world? How many know you can't have it both ways? You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. Too many Christians are being choked, especially in America, because all they do is they pursue wealth. They just pursue stuff and money. Are you with me? To have this and to have the best of it all. And they're compromising the will of God for their lives. God will bless those who bless others. Jesus was very clear about this. Give and it shall be given unto you. So giving is biblical, amen. It's something that God is doing towards us. God is a giver because God is a lover. So we are lovers and we are givers. And if you give, it shall be given unto you. Some people are blessed financially because they have been faithful to bless others. Are you hearing me? And so don't judge people because they have wealth. Because wealth does not mean necessarily that they have favor from God or the blessing of God is on their lives. Are you hearing me? You see this very clearly in this case. But sometimes wealth is a result of God's blessing and favor, so that because God can trust them with riches because he knows that they'll be good stewards of what he entrusts to them. How many know that there are celebrities and there are musicians and rock stars who are literally selling their soul to Satan? It's not some kind of fantasy. It's not something that's made up. They're literally doing that, and that's why they get so much popularity and money and all that they have and all that they want, they can get from Satan, but it's only for a short season. Amen? And the time is coming when God is going to require their soul, and every man, woman, boy, and girl born throughout eternity is going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's at that time, praise God, amen, if we're in Christ, that we're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. Amen? But for those who refuse to hear the voice of God now, the day is coming when they will stand before the great white throne judgment of Christ, and they will give an account, and those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Word of God says. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to end up there. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm toeing the line. I fear the Lord. Do you fear the Lord?
Yes.
How many know He is the judge? And there needs to be the fear of the Lord in the people of God. There's too much of the sloppy agape people living like the devil. Are you hearing me? And then coming to church and lifting their hands and praising the Lord. That's hypocrisy. That's not an offering that God's going to receive. God will receive a pure offering of righteousness, that we have bowed our knee and we have confessed our sins. We have renounced our connection to the world, to Pharaoh, to Egypt. Amen. We've come out of that place and now we're walking with Jesus. And now when we give our offering, we give a pure offering. And we know what the offering is today. Do you know what God accepts as an offering today? He's not asking us to sacrifice a lamb. He's asking us to give Him praise. Give Him praise, the fruit of your lips. Give praise to your God. That is our acceptable sacrifice today. We get to do this. We get to give praise to God. I like giving praise to God. Because it feels good. Praise feels good.
Amen.
There's times when I'm just beat down in the world and the cares and the things that come on me. And I just got to say, okay, I've got to get my praise on here. And I'm not talking about just a little whisper prayer in the morning. There's times when you need a breakthrough and you need to get up and you need to start shouting to God. Amen. Shouting. It's called calling upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Whenever they called upon the name of the Lord in the earth, you know, in the time of Enoch, it was an audible expression of calling out loudly. And Psalms 100 talks about speaking loudly or praising God loudly as with a piercing of the ear. Are you hearing me? And it's, well, in our denomination, we're just... Forget your denomination! What does God say? Somebody say, man, he's mad again. No, I'm not. I better smile or else... I'm really happy, actually. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Not everybody's happy, I guess. Woo! God is good. Folks, He did everything for us at the cross. Jesus laid it all down for us. For God so loved the world, He deserves that we now present our bodies back to Him. Everyone in this room, you are called to serve God. And you're called to serve Him with passion, with a full on commitment to Christ. How many know it's not just for me? It's for everybody. It's for it. We are to bloom where we're planted. Where you work, where you live, where you move, you are to bloom in that place, and you are to commit yourself to serve the Lord. And you know how you serve Him? You serve Him by serving others. Amen. Blessing others, praying for others, ministering, witnessing to others, testifying of the grace of our Lord to others. We serve Him. We serve Him. God gave us lips to praise Him. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me." In other words, take control of that part of you that says, "I don't want to do it." When God tells you to do something, guess what? There's usually a little bit of a battle going on. You need to tell that part of you, shut up, sit down.
Amen.
Are you with me? If God says, "Give me praise," open your mouth and give Him praise.
Amen.
Do the opposite of what that part of you that says, "I don't want to do that," says. We're not serving that old man, are we? See, God wants to rock, I believe, not only our world, this church, but He wants to rock our city. And we've got to be lit up for Jesus to do that.
Amen.
I want to see our children worshiping. We need to start teaching them about praise and worship.
Yes.
And we need to understand that this is not an adult thing that we're just doing up here, but their very life depends upon worship.
Yes.
Their very soul depends upon praise.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? They need to know that they have a need for God's presence too. We're not going to reach this generation until our children are on fire for God. We take them incrementally, we begin to teach them, we begin to disciple them, but our kids need to learn also about worship. I remember seeing some of them, these times when they come up here, and they've got their flags and their hands raised, and they're in the glory, you can tell they're in the Spirit, and they're worshiping. And I want to cry because it's so beautiful to see children just released in the Spirit like that. And then the next week, it was like, where are they? Why aren't they here? They're sitting down or they're monkeying around during the service because they're totally oblivious to what God is doing in our midst. Are you hearing me? I don't care if you get offended me or not. I love you enough to tell you the truth that you need God and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you need to quit playing games at church because this is not games. This is about people's life and death. Amen? This is about eternity. People are going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. And I know about you. I'm not going to hell. So you might as well come and go to heaven with me. I don't care if I'm the most popular kid on the block anymore. I never was anyways. Are you all doing okay? You still doing okay after I told you the truth? Okay. I love every one of you here, so don't feel like I'm picking on anybody. Because when I preach to myself. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the work of Your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.